We live in a time where nothing happens without everybody knowing that it happened. With social media and the internet, we receive news in real time, almost right at the moment that it happens. And that's probably the next step in media development: preemptive, predictive news. We station someone on every street corner just in case something happens so we can report on it when it does. You know, with everyone carrying smartphones and sending photos everywhere on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, we're practically there now. Remember how the world held its breath when we first received the news that Kate Middleton was pregnant? We watched with fascination as the baby grew within her. We wanted to know what she was wearing. We wanted to see how big she was getting. Did she look tired? Would she ever get her pre-baby body back? Will it be a boy or a girl? And William, the proud father, we remember when Diana was pregnant with him. We remember his birth, his youth, the tragedy of his mother's death, his time in the military, his wedding, and now the world was watching and waiting for his child to be born. And then on July 22nd, it happened. We knew the moment Kate went into the hospital. We heard the announcement that the baby had been born. We watched as a parade of royals went to visit the new baby. You know, I felt the same way the day that my son Isaac was born. Everybody knew that it was happening. I was able to share pictures mere minutes after he was born. Everybody knew that he was a boy. Everybody knew his birth weight, the time of his birth, his Apgar score. Everybody knew his name, Isaac Timothy. Laughter, honoring God. And yet, although I am the proud father, I'm not too proud to admit that Isaac's birth is just a blip on the radar compared to that bright, shining beacon out of London. After all, George is not just another baby. He's the future king of England. But the swell of publicity surrounding George's birth is far overshadowed by a more humble birth some 2,000 years ago. His parents were nothing to speak of, just a young Jewish girl and her husband. But he wasn't even her husband, was he? He was her betrothed. What a scandal that must have presented in their little village. And yet, I don't suppose people outside of Nazareth even gave them a second thought. When the command came for them to return to their place of origin, it meant traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a distance of 70 miles. Joseph the carpenter was descended from David, that great king of Israel. But that royal bloodline had been thinned by centuries of exile and defeat at the hands of their enemies. 70 miles on foot may seem like an arduous journey to us today, but in time before mass transit, it was just something that had to be done. Still, for a pregnant woman, it cannot have been an easy journey. Along the way, I doubt they would have passed anyone they knew. A 70-mile trip alone, just a young girl and her betrothed. No one else to talk to. No one else to share the joy at their coming child. Arriving in Bethlehem, they probably lodged with relatives of Joseph. But I'm sure that there were many other family members as well. Some close, some distant. And the closer ones probably stayed in the main house. Mary and Joseph took what they could get, lodging in what would have been the warmest place to stay outside the house, in the area with the animals, warmed by the body heat of the livestock, grateful for the relief from the cold night air, surrounded by relatives, and yet still mostly alone. Then the time came for the girl to give birth. There were no news cameras. There were no reporters anxiously waiting. No one in the world held their breath as the Son of God, King of Kings, came into the world. He was born in humble surroundings. He was laid on a bed of straw, wrapped in a coarse woolen cloth. God, who spoke the universe into existence, who formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into his nostrils, who made everything out of nothing, came into this world, and the world didn't even notice. God came into the world right in Bethlehem, while most of the people in Bethlehem slept. And when they awoke in the morning, none of them even knew that God himself was lying in a manger in their midst. To put things into perspective, more people probably knew about the birth of my son Isaac than knew about the birth of Jesus. I'm sure there are more people in this room right now than those who knew the moment that Jesus was born. But 100 years from now, who will remember the birth of my son? He may still be alive, but who will remember his birth? 100 years from now, who will remember the birth of Prince George? Some may know of his birth as a date in a history book somewhere or an answer to a test question. Perhaps, but probably not. Yet here we are this very night celebrating the birth of a child born to poor unmarried parents, born among livestock and laid in a food trough, born in the night while an entire city slept. There was nothing sensational about his birth, except that there was. This was Emmanuel, God with us. He stepped off his throne in heaven on high to be born a man, to give his own life for our sins, because he loves us. Oh yes, he loves us. And that's why 2,000 years later, the world knows of the birth of this lowly child in Bethlehem. And the world celebrates and awaits his return. When he comes in final glory, will we notice? Will we be celebrating in the streets like the people of London when Prince George was born? Or will we, like the people of Bethlehem, be found asleep, too worn down by the cares of the world to notice that the greatest thing to happen in the history of mankind is happening right in our midst? Let us pray. Dearest Lord Jesus, we gather here together tonight to worship you, to give you glory, to honor you, and to praise your holy name. We thank you, O God, that you humbled yourself to be born a man, born to a poor family, born to walk among us and to die for us, to be raised from the dead. And in raising, conquering death, that we who believe will never die, but have life everlasting. You have given us the greatest gift of all. You have given us your love and your grace. May we honor you in all that we do until you come in your final glory. All this we pray in the precious name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.